when I think about sort of why was Silent Springs, why did it have such a huge impact, this is a time period. The 1950s are a time period after World War II in which the United States is feeling very strong, very good about itself. This is a time period of great prosperity. It's a time period in which chemistry brings good things to life, I believe is the phrase. And this is when, again, not only do you get things like refrigerants, this is also the beginnings, a little bit later, the beginnings of plastics. If you think about the 1950s, this is the time of all sorts of conveniences coming into the fore. Chemistry, therefore, had really not been questioned. It was the golden boy science, if you will. This is also a time period when the U.S. government is not being challenged. People believe that government knows best, that it is our science that has been victorious against bad science in the Nazi time period. And so she not only was saying, wait a second, let's not, you know, be overly confident that human beings can control everything and that we as Americans can control everything.
In other words, there was a sort of elevation of chemistry and physics, as if chemistry and physics could do no wrong. There was no boundaries to the discoveries and the good that it could do.
Correct.
And she came along and said, no, that's not so.
Correct. One of the great impacts of her work is that she goes up against three main foundations of modern society, in Silent Spring in particular. She goes up against industry, she goes up against science, and she goes up against government. And I've thought much before about the post-World War II period and the reverence for science during that time period, in particular because of the atomic bomb and the U.S. victory in World War II, and also with regard to the new pesticides that were used during the war to win the war. The DDT was very important in winning the war.
In what way was DDT important?
Prior to World War II, the greatest instance of death in war was as a result of disease. And in World War II, DDT, I think it was first discovered or invented in 1939. And then it was used in 1943, I believe, in Italy against typhus. And so the...
Which was carried by the insects.
Which was carried by insects, right. And then later it was used again in the war in the Pacific against mosquitoes to combat malaria. And so DDT was hugely important in terms of allowing the Allies to be victorious, at least to not have to deal with the mass death from disease.
So it must have been a shocking surprise then when this woman comes along and begins to say, this is a very bad thing in the long term.
Absolutely. And she was absolutely maligned for it. What this film doesn't do that others have is show very significant attacks she received from the chemical industry. She was maligned and dismissed for being a woman who was not married, all of these kinds of things, just simply questioning her knowledge basis on the fact that she was a woman.
It sounds very similar to what happens today, where if you come up against a chemical company or a petroleum company, they have the resources to denigrate your research or hire their own researchers.
Right, absolutely. And there's ample footage from the time of she was not a large woman. She was a petite woman. Her up against the chemical industry scientists at the time in their lab coats with their British accent. So, yes, she was very much maligned.
Do you think that she would have run into as much static and criticism if she were not a woman?
In some ways, I was actually thinking a lot about her gender as I watched this particular film. And I think that in some ways, her gender served her well in a variety of interesting ways.
Really? What ways?
One very important aspect of her position in the Fish and Wildlife Service, which is the position that she held during her career. She was trained as a biologist and went to work for the Fish and Wildlife Service on oceanic issues. And her position there for a long period of time was as editor of one of the journals. And it was because she was an editor of the journal that she saw science from a variety of different realms and therefore collected a wide range of different information, which led her to realize that what was going on with pesticides was affecting a range of different forms of wildlife. She would not have been given this position if she had been a man. If she had been a man, she would have gone into a very focused area of expertise. In fact, this film mentions at one point that she's not allowed to go out on the ships that the other scientists go out on by herself. She actually needs to have a chaperone, is how they put it. I also think that her gender helped her when it actually came to the release of her book, because on the one hand...
Silent Spring, yes.
On the one hand, the industry could dismiss it. On the other hand, she was simply an average person. She was not as threatening because she was a woman. And one of her greatest strengths with that particular book is that she was able, through her writing, which is writing that is, on the one hand, written for the layperson, but on the other hand, very much to explain the details of science that were at that time new to the public. The public was not, the concept of ecology and ecosystems was not part of public discourse. And she, through the book, chapter by chapter, explained how from the very smallest organisms, ecosystems are connected. She basically explained the food chain and how toxins get into the environment at one level and bioaccumulate up to the point where they actually affect human beings.
What do you think gave Rachel Carson the wherewithal, the courage to press these ideas when industry was against her, maybe even people in government thought she was crazy? The public didn't necessarily want to hear what she had to say.
Very early on in Silent Spring, she says this: "Only within the moment of time represented by the present century has one species, man, acquired significant power to alter the nature of his world. During the past quarter century, this power has not only increased to one of disturbing magnitude, but it has changed in character."
Meaning?
So she's very much pointing out that we've reached a new point in time. Prior to this point, we've been able to emphasize the importance of progress through industrial development, through scientific discovery. But only at this point in time are we now starting to get so ahead of things that we are having an impact on nature that is far beyond anything that we have ever had before.
What do you think her most lasting contribution is?
She's extremely relevant today. One of the things that comes through loud and clear with the film is that even though the words precautionary principle were not around at the time that she was writing, that was really what she was telling us to use. She was telling us that when we make decisions, we need to err on the side of caution. We mistake ourselves when we think that we can overcome all aspects of nature, that we can simply control nature without there being adverse consequences. And obviously, climate change is a huge factor today that clearly Rachel Carson's ideas would have anticipated.
Dr. Abigail Jael is a professor of environmental and international studies at Illinois Wesleyan. Thanks for talking about Rachel Carson with us.
You're very welcome. Thanks for asking me.
I'm Judy Valente.